Good to be here this morning and be able to sing praises to God together. And even though we are down in our numbers this morning, it's always a blessing and privilege to gather together as children of God and sing and worship Him, thankful for His love and His grace and His plan of salvation for us. We miss those who are not with us today, and Jeremy and Jen, their family, they are in Oregon this week, and we miss Gretchen. We are happy to have Abby back with us after her year at Florida College, and so it's great to see Abby. But I really appreciate all of you who make the journey to come to worship. I know that as I look out at all of you this morning, there's quite a few who make a drive to come to services here in Burien, and I want to thank you for that. It really means a lot to me and to Karen that when we see you here. When I was reminded of that when we were in Texas recently for my sister's funeral service, we were staying in Corsicana, which is a town there about 100 miles maybe south of Dallas. And that is where we had the funeral service on Saturday at the funeral home there in Corsicana. But we worshiped in Waxahachie. And that was about a 50-mile drive from where we were staying. And as we were traveling to and from, it was reminding me of how growing up, our family always, nearly always, made a long journey of 40, 50 miles to worship where we attended in those all those years as we were growing up. But once you get there, you know it's such a blessing to gather together with those Christians and be a part of that service. Singing the beautiful hymns that they sang, and there was a baptism that morning. And just standing around and visiting with people afterwards and getting to know them. You know, Texas is kind of like here in Washington, because you can tell pretty quickly if someone is from the area by the way they pronounce or mispronounce the names of the towns. And that was true there, because Waxahachie is a difficult one, but people that live there know how to pronounce it correctly. And I was talking to one man who was from the town of Italy, Italy, Texas, but he said it's not said Italy, it's Italy. And so it was interesting to get to know those people and be a part of it. So it's always fulfilling. It's always so rewarding when we make the drive and come and worship together on the first day of the week. Today, of course, is Memorial Day, and many people, I'm sure, are going out to the cemetery this morning, maybe the National Cemetery out in Maple Valley, by where Jim and Debbie live, and Gary Dibert might be one of those. I don't know why Gary's not here today, but thinking of Sharon being buried out there, and we've had a number of funerals out there, but there's a saying that they often repeat that is where heroes reside, or where heroes lay here, and it is something that we as Americans really appreciate and owe a debt of great gratitude of our men and women who have served our country and indeed given their lives in the defense of freedom that we enjoy. So it's always nice to recognize, and on today and tomorrow be able to take time to think of those heroes of our country. I want to turn this morning now to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses here of 2 Timothy chapter 4. beginning with verse 1. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Some of the final words, some of the last words that he wrote before his life ended. And as he was writing this, we believe that he was in prison in Rome and writing to Timothy, who was in Ephesus. And as we will see later in chapter 4, one of the things that Paul was hoping was that Timothy would be able to come and visit him before his death. And winter, he said, was come before winter, because then the shipping lanes would be closed. So the Apostle Paul was concerned. He wanted to see Timothy again. And in writing to him these final words that he is writing, the Apostle Paul, of course, is concerned with the work that needs to continue to be done. And so he is urging and encouraging Timothy to be faithful, to be uncompromising, to be biblical in his work that he continues to do, to give him courage and to build him up in the work that he is doing. Because one thing that seems to be true about Timothy is that Timothy was a fine, godly, moral, upstanding young man, devout in his faith, and yet he did not seem to have the boldness of the Apostle Paul at this point in his life. That Paul writes to him several times that he may be a little timid, fearful, and holding back. And so the concern for him that he will be strong and that he will continue to uphold the truth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we look here at 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning, the first part of chapter 4 is this charge of Paul to Timothy, really his final charge. There is several other charges that he gives. And a charge, when he says here in verse 1, I charge you therefore, to solemnly command him, to solemnly charge him. It is almost as if giving him a commission of, here is what I would like for you to do, Timothy, at this time, and after I am gone even. So it's a very serious type of commitment that he is asking of Timothy in writing to him this way. And we want to begin there by looking at four thoughts this morning. First of all, Timothy's responsibility that he is being given here. Secondly, the urgency that is important for him to understand how serious and how urgent this is. Thirdly, for him in verse 5 to be having an attitude to remain constant and unwavering in this as he is fulfilling that command. And then finally, Paul is giving his own example of his life as it is coming to a close, so that it will encourage Timothy, that Timothy has an example that he can look at in the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is setting the standard for all of us in writing these words here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Anytime we think about our life as a Christian, we can go back here to 2 Timothy 4 and we can look at the life of the Apostle Paul and see a sterling example of what we need to continue to set forth in our goals of our life so that we can complete the task and complete the race that is being given to us. Let's begin verses 1 and 2 and talk about the seriousness of this responsibility that Paul is giving to Timothy. And he said, "I charge you therefore before God and before our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So Paul is wanting Timothy to understand here that he is not just going to be preaching in front of the people of the congregation. It is in the presence of God and the presence of Jesus Christ that when a man stands before and preaches the Word of God, that it is in the presence of God and that Jesus Christ is going to be coming and his appearing and his kingdom, and he is going to judge the living and the dead. So this is a solemn responsibility to stand up and preach the Word of God and to proclaim the truth of God's message. It is God who is giving this message, and any time Timothy is there preaching, he is going to be giving God's message to the people. And it's being done in the presence of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we were studying the book of James here recently on Wednesday night, we came across where he, in chapter 3 of James in verse 1, he said here, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." And so God is going to hold men accountable for, are we preaching the Word of God as God has given it to us? This is God's message. It is a message that is not to be compromised. It's not to be our opinions added here and there. It's God's Word that we are to be taking that as a responsibility, that to preach the Word of God as it has been revealed to us. We understand that someday that is coming, Jesus Christ is going to appear. He is going to suddenly appear. And the Bible makes it clear to us that he's going to come as a thief in the night, and that many will not be prepared when Jesus Christ comes again. Our exhortation as fellow Christians is that we will be living our lives as devout and faithful to Him, that if Jesus comes back at any moment, we will be ready for that appearing of Jesus Christ. I believe that my sister Beth lived her life that way, and that when she went into that operating room that morning, I'm confident that she was praying and her life was confident. She did not expect, I don't think, her life was going to come to an end. She expected that she would be awakening from that surgery and she would be back with her husband and her children and grandchildren and go on with more years of her life. And yet it did not turn out that way. But her life was lived in a way that she was prepared to meet the Lord. And that is how we each must look at our lives, that either Jesus Christ may come back or our life could end unexpectedly, suddenly, some tragedy or some unexpected event, but we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. And as a preacher of the gospel of Christ, need to understand that I'm going to be examined not only the life that I live, but also Have I faithfully fulfilled the minister requirement or the expectation to preach the Word of God faithfully? So God is, He's putting this before Timothy, the importance of that, that it's such a serious responsibility that he's being given. Secondly, the subject of his ministry is so clearly laid out here. He says, preach the Word. Preach the Word, Timothy. And so be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Paul here explains to Timothy that what he is to preach is God's Word, plain and simple. It is not to be added to. It is not to be enhanced in some way to bring the attention to Timothy's ability. Preach the Word, Timothy, and be ready at all times to be ready to preach the Word, whether it's publicly in the preaching of the gospel in the congregation or on a one-to-one basis when you're around people. You be ready with your responsibility. The Apostle Paul, throughout the letter of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, was often emphasizing the Word of God as being the number one responsibility, the first task that is given to us as a minister of God is to faithfully proclaim His Word. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. In chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, he went on to say, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He refers here to the Word of God as being sound doctrine, as being the glorious gospel, as being the scriptures that are inspired by God, the word of truth that he said we are to be, give diligence to handle aright the word of truth. So there is a great responsibility being given to Timothy and all of us. As Christians, especially any of those who teach God's Word, to prepare, to study carefully, to pass on and teach and explain the Word of God so that others can hear it and understand it and realize the convictions that would come from hearing the Word of God. So he said, be ready in season and out of season. Now, this means that a Christian should be ready and available at all times to teach the Word of God. I might come home from work at the end of the day. I may be tired. But if an opportunity comes for me to go and speak with someone about the truth, I need to be ready to go. And I need to let, I am available. I am always there ready to do what I am able to do to help someone to the knowledge of the truth. And he says to the way that this is to be done here is important also because he said to convince, to rebuke, and to exhort. Now, as you think about teaching the Word of God, there are different aspects of the Word of God to convict and then to rebuke and to exhort. Now, one of these would be for the purpose of the changing of a person's life. So to bring conviction, to rebuke, there's correction involved in that. To reach the heart of a person, to make them realize they need to change their life. And by changing their life is going to be much better. They can be released from the bondage of sin and darkness that they may not be fully aware is governing their life, but they can be released and their sins forgiven, a hope of eternity. So preaching the Word of God is a multifaceted aspect of how to reach people. And each person is different. Each person is unique. In reaching one person, I may have to convict them or convince them. Another person may need correction, but some people just need exhortation and encouragement. But we need to reach the mind, we need with instruction, we need to reach the heart, we need to reach the will, we need to reach the conscience of people, and the Word of God is able to do all of this. When we teach the Word of God, we are hitting at where people need to hear God's message. And it is a message that pierces into the heart of people and shows them their own sins. It reveals the sins of people to them. Now, Paul then continues on and he's showing the urgency now of the commission. And he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So first of all, there's going to be an intolerance of truth that Paul is making Timothy aware that the time will come. Now, the word time that is used here in the Greek language, kairos or kairos, it is referring to an epoch or a season. And so therefore it is referring to there are going to be times that you will see where people do not want to receive the truth of God's Word. They will not endure sound doctrine. And there will be times that people just don't want to listen to the Word of God. They are not interested in the Word of God. And that makes the work of a minister difficult. But as he's saying, in season, out of season, your responsibility is to preach the Word. And so we are living in a time here today, much like this, that they will not endure sound doctrine. And you know why people will not endure sound doctrine many times in our day today is because it convicts them of sin where they are living in their life. And it does step on their toes. And they need to hear that message. But it is rejected many times. And that is what Paul is warning Timothy about. Now, it's nothing new. There have been these times throughout history in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Take, for example, Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet was given the responsibility to go and preach God's word in his day to the people of Israel. And he was told in advance that many of the people would not listen to him. But he said, go ahead and preach anyway. That's why I'm sending you. Now, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 through 11, Isaiah has this interesting statement. He says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isaiah is saying the people are going, some of these people, they do not want to hear the Word of God. They want to say, Isaiah, speak to us smooth things, things that we want to hear. And truly, that is how many people are. The Word of God is convicting people of sin. People today do not want to hear about what the Bible says about homosexuality. People today do not want to hear what the Bible says about abortion. People do not want to hear what the Bible says about the role of men and women. And yet, God's Word needs to be preached so that people hear the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It cannot be compromised, in other words. And yet there are those today in many pulpits in our country and many churches who want to give the people smooth things. They want to give them, don't tell people that message. That's too controversial. That will drive people away. And that's the very problem that Paul is warning Timothy about here as he is writing to Timothy there in the city of Ephesus. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30 and 31, he said, "An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?" So the people of Israel loved when the prophets did not preach what God said, but what they wanted to hear instead. Today we're living in a time that the only cardinal sin is to believe in absolute truth in our world today. That is the one. Anything else is okay, and even to be celebrated in our world today. But if you believe in absolute truth and that the Bible contains the absolute truth, then you are committing a heinous crime against the people of our land. So we are told here there's going to be an intolerance of truth. And not only that, there's going to be an appetite for false teaching. He says, "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now, fables are myths. These are words that are created by men. They are maybe stories or tales or philosophies or teachings, but they are made up by men. They do not come from God. And he said, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will want to have teachers who will turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, it reminds me of the people of Israel in the days of Moses. Moses being up on top of Mount Sinai and receiving the commandments from God. And as they were coming down from the mountain, though, they didn't realize what had been taking place down in the camp of Israel. The people came to Moses' brother Aaron, and they said to Moses, "We don't know as for this man Moses, what has happened to him? He's gone up there in the mountain, and we have not heard anything since. We need to have a God that we can see. We want you to make us a golden calf." And Aaron, Moses' brother, listened to the people. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he said to Moses, in explaining what he had done, he said, "And all the people gave me their gold jewelry, and I put it into the fire, and out came the golden calf." Now, putting that in modern day situation for us today, is if people want a golden calf, you give them a golden calf. And that is the direction that all too many churches are taking today, is what do the people want, then let's preach to them the message that will tickle their ears, that will make them happy, that will keep them coming to hear more and more. So instead of God's word, there is an appetite, he said, for false teaching. But Timothy, you are to preach the word, Be urgent in season and out of season. Now he goes on to say here that Timothy must have an undergirding attitude in all of this in order for him to withstand and to remain faithful. And he said, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So you see the contrast here. He's saying, but you. They're going to be wanting men who will teach the message that is pleasing to them. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So, Timothy, you must be constant. You must be consistent. You must be watchful. And the word that he uses here, being watchful, really means to have all of your proper faculties about you at all times. To keep a level head, to, as we would say, keep your head, keep your mind going in the right direction. Stay in control of yourself. Don't get panicky. Don't become frustrated and lose your direction of who you are and what you are doing. He's saying, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. And Paul made it clear that Timothy, it's not going to be easy to preach the Word of God. You know, there was a graduation ceremony in a high school. I think it was a couple of years ago. But a young girl, high school graduate, valedictorian, she was going to be making the valedictory speech, and she wanted to mention her faith in God. And her message was going to be entitled, "The Most Important Thing in My Life is the Lord." And you know what? She was not allowed to make that speech at her graduation. They said, you have to take out the word Lord. That's too controversial. That is too judgmental. That's going to offend certain people in the audience. She said, I can't take that out. That's what my life is about. So, a fine young lady like this, wanting to make that speech, she was actually not allowed to say that here in America today. It's a sad commentary on where we have come to as a nation. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you need to be watchful in all of these things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Now, keep in mind that an evangelist is a proclaimer or a herald of good tidings. And that's what an evangelist is. That a message of an evangelist is always good news. It is a positive, happy message that is to be proclaimed. That's the message God has given to us as in the gospel of Christ, is the good news of salvation. So, in those days when a king or when the city had a message that was to be sent out to the people, and many times it was a good news. It was something that the people needed to hear. There was a herald who would go out and stand in the streets, and he would proclaim the good news for the people to hear. That's the word for an evangelist that is used here. And it's only used two or three times in the New Testament. But Timothy is to do the work of an evangelist. He is to proclaim the good news. And that should be a message that no one would be offended by. The message that Jesus Christ died for our sins when he came into this world. It is a positive message of hope. In Ephesians 4:11, it said, He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So God has provided that there is a message of good news that his church will be proclaiming to the world. And Timothy, do that work. Stay with that message. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Stand firmly for it. Now, Paul closes this lesson today by giving his own example to Timothy. And he says here, beginning in verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." So the Apostle Paul knew that the time of his departure was coming. How did he know this? Had the Lord revealed it to him? Did it come about because he understood that he had been condemned to death by the Roman government in the court that he had faced? He doesn't say, he doesn't reveal, but he says, "I am being poured out already as a drink offering." He is referring here to the sacrifices of the law of Moses. It's a familiar image to the people who are familiar with the Old Testament. That in the Old Testament there was a sacrifice that was a blood sacrifice, a sin offering, and a burnt offering. But there was also accompanying that a drink offering that was a free will offering being freely poured out as a thanksgiving to God to glorify His name. And the Apostle Paul is describing himself that he is going to be laying down his life, and he is going to be willingly doing that as a drink offering to God that will glorify Him. The time of his departure, he does not say the end of my life. He says the time of my departure. He's going to be departing from this world, but he is going to be stepping into a far better world. And Paul has no doubts about that in his mind. You know, over in Luke 9 and verse 31, Jesus had said that he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. And hundreds of years after they had both ended their lives here on earth, but he said they were talking about his coming decease in Jerusalem. Jesus, Exodus, the word Exodus, Jesus was going to depart from this life in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul was going to depart from this life. It was the time of his departure is at hand. And so he wanted Timothy to understand that he was prepared for this. He was willingly giving his life for Christ. And that is an example for us all to be encouraged by. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." So the time of his departure is at hand, and the Apostle Paul is aware that he has successfully finished the task given to him. He has fought the good fight. He has finished the race. He has kept the faith. Now, there were many people still not saved at the time that Paul made this statement. There were still going to be many challenges out there. But the Apostle Paul has fulfilled his course. And that is all that any of us can do. When we come to the end of our life, the Lord is going to look at us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not all the work has been finished at that time. But I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have fulfilled the course that was set before me. And that is what the Apostle Paul could confidently say to Timothy. And you know, he is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, that's what I want you to do. I want you to see you take up that same cause and that same love of the truth and carry it through to the end, just as I have done." When Jesus came to the end of his life in John chapter 17 and verse 4, He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. So Jesus Christ said, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. There were still many of the Pharisees that had not come to believe in him. In fact, it looked like many of his own people maybe were turning away. But Jesus was faithful, and he finished the course. And the Apostle Paul finished the course. He kept the faith. And in his life, in his doctrine, he stayed the course. He was faithful to the Lord. And so the Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me. He knew what was coming. He knew what was ahead. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Just as he is aware, every preacher is going to stand before the Lord in judgment. We're going to give an account for the work that you have done. But the Apostle Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. What a wonderful thing to be able to say with that confidence that I have faithfully preached the truth of God's word and I have lived it in my life. And the time has come for my life to end. I know there is a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. So as Christians, we need to be looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ with anticipation, to love the appearing of Jesus Christ, to look forward when Jesus Christ comes back again. That is going to be the great day that we are hoping for and waiting for, that in that day we will receive the crown of righteousness, and it will be for everyone who has loved his appearing. Paul's charge to Timothy is very simple and very clear what his work is that is laid out for him. And first and foremost, Timothy, you preach the word of God. And do it without apology, do it without compromise, because the Lord is going to reward you in that day, and all who will love your appearing. You know, the good thing about preaching the Word of God is that you know in your heart that if people will listen to it, it's going to make their life so much better. It's going to deliver them from bondage. It's going to give them a life of power and hope to overcome the control of sin in their life. To be able to, people look back and say, I'm so thankful that you taught me the Word of God. When I was so stubborn and my heart was hardened by sin, but I'm so thankful that you helped me to see my way free from that into the beautiful life that I have now experienced in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song that has been given. If any of you are here today and need to respond to Jesus Christ in any way, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread.
Hear you famishing.